You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: A letter of Yaakov to the believers. You got mail. It has indeed been a while since I've heard that phrase come out of the computer, but in our household, it is a phrase frequently coined. Honey, do I have any mail? Or, you've got mail. With our sons in the U.S. Army, we understand the importance of a piece of mail, a letter that will be opened and held in the hands, then collected and kept. I've seen them, all sorted neatly by date and sender. When you investigate them closely, you might even see smudging from a tear or from holding and reading them so often. In our fast-paced society, news and family information travel at lightning speed. A question from me to a minister a couple of states over would 160 years ago take 2 weeks to a month to be received and another 2 weeks to a month to be answered. A question asked in June might be answered in July or even August. Not in our day and age, though. It is seconds. Is this good? Oh yes, I like it a lot. But we also share a whole lot more over long distances. What about Christmas cards? Do you send out greetings before the Christ date? I know we do, and we also look forward to receiving them each day to the mailbox. Oh, look, Aunt and Uncle so-and-so have sent us a card. How cool is that? Sometimes, however, we stumble upon a letter so profound that we need to think about it twice. Answering in cursive would take a while. Typing is so much faster. However, my friends, let us take the time to look at some letters that are in front of us and see what arrived in the mail for you and me. Who is it from? Oh, look, it is from Yaakov, written to all of us in our church. Wow, it took an awful long time to deliver. Must be important. Looks like a lot of time was spent writing all those thoughts out on paper. James chapter 1, original Jewish Bible, complete Jewish Bible, the message, the voice, English translation, revised version. My brothers and sisters, you will have many kinds of trouble, but this gives you a reason to be very happy. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. Do any of you need wisdom? Ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving to everyone, so He will give you wisdom. But when you ask God, you must believe. Don't doubt Him. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that is blown up and down by the wind. Those adrift on their own wisdom shouldn't assume the Lord will rescue them or bring them anything. The splinter of divided loyalty shatters your compass and leaves you dizzy and confused. When those believers who are poor and down and out rejoice, cheer. And when those believers who are rich and arrogant and counting on their own means rejoice when they are taken down a notch. Riches do not change the fact that you are a mere mortal who will vanish like a flower that withers in the field. For just as the sun rises with the morning and dries up the plant, so that its flower falls off and its beauty is destroyed, so too the rich person going about his business will wither away. Great blessings belong to those who are tempted and remain faithful. After they have proved their faith, God will give them the reward and will be crowned with life. As God has promised, the crown awaits all who love Him. Whenever you feel tempted to do something bad, you should not say, "God is tempting me," or "God is trying to trip me up," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and God Himself tempts no one. When a person is carried away with desire, lured by lust, and when desire becomes the focus and takes control, lust gets pregnant and has a baby. Sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. Death. My dear brothers and sisters, don't be fooled about this. Everything good comes from God. Every perfect gift is from Him, the Father who made the heavenly lights. With Him, there is no variation in the light nor any darkness. He is always the same. We have a special role in His plan. He calls us to life by His message of truth, so that we will show the rest of His creatures His goodness and love. My dear brothers and sisters, always be more willing to listen than to speak. Keep control of your anger. Human anger is a futile exercise that will never produce God's kind of justice in this world. So rid yourselves of all vulgarity and obvious evil, and receive humbly the word implanted in you that can save your lives. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. If some fail to do what God requires, it's as if they forget the word as soon as they hear it. One minute they look in the mirror, and the next they forget who they are and what they look like. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air only. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: caring for orphans or widows who need help, and keeping yourself free from the world's evil influence, preventing yourselves from being contaminated by the world. If you had not figured it out yet, this is the first letter of Yaakov to the Jewish believers scattered all over the world due to the diaspora, the scattering that began when the Babylonians conquered Israel and Judah and drove our people away to escape violence. Through Hebrew and Greek translations, we ended up with the name James, but it was written by Yaakov, the half-brother of Yeshua. This is most likely the oldest letter or book from the New Testament Bible, written to believers around AD 45, just a few years after the death of our beloved Yeshua. Yaakov didn't believe at first that Jesus was the Messiah, as we read in John chapter 7, verse 2-5, complete Jewish Bible. But the festival of Sukkot in Yehuda was near, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go into Yehuda, so that your Talmudim can see the miracles you do, for no one who wants to become known acts in secret. If you're doing these things, show yourself to the world." His brothers spoke this way because they had not put their trust in him. It was not until after the crucifixion and resurrection that James became a believer. On the Sabbath, they walked the permitted distance back to the upper room, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 12-14, Common English Bible. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, James's son, all were united in their devotion to prayer, along with some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, he was first seen by more than 500 believers, then to his brother Yaakov, followed by the disciples, and then Paul on the road to Damascus. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9, Amplified Bible, Paul records, "For he who motivated and fitted Peter and worked effectively through him for the mission to the circumcised motivated and fitted me and worked through me also for the mission to the Gentiles. And when they knew, perceived, recognized, understood, and acknowledged the grace, God's unmerited favor and spiritual blessing that had been bestowed upon me, James and Cephas, Peter and John, who were reputed to be pillars of the Jerusalem church, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, with the understanding that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised Jews. Yaakov, the brother of Yeshua, became a pillar and leader of the Jerusalem church. According to Josephus, he was martyred for his faith in AD 62. Why spend so much time on this letter and explaining who James is? Because it is important to know the person writing to us. James played in the dirt with Jesus, worked in his father's shop alongside him, and listened to the same temple stories. They shared the same upbringing under Joseph and Mary. Jesus was the firstborn, begotten by the Holy Spirit, yet certainly not the last child. Joseph and Mary had other sons and daughters. How well do you know your own brothers and sisters? I can guarantee you there is still someone in my family who cannot accept me as a pastor and teacher of the Holy Word of God. They knew me as a child and will always see me that way. A child grows up so fast, toddler, child, teen, yet as parents and siblings, we stop wanting to see more growth. I know who I was before the Holy Spirit came upon me and baptized me. It was not a pretty sight, looking back on life before Christ. But then there is new life in Christ with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So yes, you know, waiting 2,000 years for the Messiah. And then your brother tells you he is he? Yeah, right. I played marbles with you. I washed dishes with you. And you are the Messiah. Come on. It must have been just as hard for James and his siblings. Then came the crucifixion, the resurrection, and everything changed. I put Jesus in the grave myself. He appeared to me, his own brother, James, and I saw the light. I saw the truth. I know what he said, because it is so like my own story. I knew Jesus, truly I did, just as I knew Karl Malone of the Utah Jazz from afar. I would never have spent the money to watch him in person, just as I barely put more than a guilder, about 40 cents, in the offering plate. And that came from Ma and Pa. The Old Testament, I used to call it old and useless. Until that one moment when the Holy Spirit revealed a corner of my heart like a nasty spider-infested closet. I let him in, and I began to clean out all those wrong thoughts. Out, out, out. First Lady tells us the heart is like an empty closet, just for him, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I stand before you today with much to make right to God the Father, for his zeal and the Word of God have taken hold of my life. As with James, we see between the lines of his letter to believers. We could head this letter from Yaakov to all the messianic believers scattered throughout the world, but that would not do it justice. As a believer and theologian, I hold that the message goes first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. When the word stops going out to the Jew, it will surely cease going out to the Gentile. That mixed vision of clean and unclean in religious society emerged slowly. But when we take that perspective, this letter is to all believers in Yeshua, the Messiah, wherever we are on this earth. Martin Luther called this the straw gospel, believing it to counter Paul's teaching on faith alone. Yet within Eagle Wings Charismatic Ministries International, we do not adhere to a Paul-only interpretation. Luther and other Pauline theologians failed to see that James's teaching on works complements, not contradicts, Paul's on faith. While Paul focuses on justification, James focuses on the works that demonstrate that justification. James wrote to encourage Jewish believers to continue growing in the new Christian faith. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, the Message, Paul describes the flesh's works. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. These things destroy your soul, consuming all space in your heart and leaving no room for God. Live out the word of God, obey His will, apply His commands, and create more room in your heart for Him and less for the world. Listen to the Holy Spirit rather than the world's advertising agencies, and you shall receive God's blessing. When you receive God's blessings, life will look better. It may still be hard or painful, but it will grow more fruitful with the Holy Spirit's presence, and the world will see genuine prosperity in your life. How was it said at the beginning of this message? Real religion that passes muster before God the Father is this: caring for orphans and widows who need help, and keeping yourself free from the world's evil influence, preventing contamination by the world. True and real religion places love deeply rooted in our hearts. With that, we care for others and help them to become self-sufficient, always giving glory to God, who made it all possible. Next week, we will see how true faith is impartial and how we can demonstrate it through our works. I will not tell you that you need works to get to heaven. James's tone makes it clear that faith and works go hand in hand. Today, you have received some pearls of wisdom. You may have known this text well and read it 100 times, but each reading brings new insight and fresh challenge. As we reflect on Yaakov's letter, we recognize the enduring need for perseverance in the face of trials. Our faith is tested not to break us, but to reveal our true character and draw us closer to our Heavenly Father. Each challenge becomes an opportunity to rely on God's wisdom, develop Christ-like endurance, and reach spiritual maturity. Moreover, Yaakov's emphasis on humility, listening more than speaking, controlling our anger, and acting on the word, reminds us that genuine faith is lived out in daily obedience. It is not enough to hear the scriptures. We must embody them, letting the word reshape our speech, attitudes, and actions. In our relationships with family, church, and community, we are called to demonstrate impartial compassion. True religion cares for orphans, widows, and those overlooked by society. As we serve, we mirror the heart of Christ, extending His love to the vulnerable and marginalized. Finally, the synergy of faith and works underscores the completeness of the gospel. Faith without deeds is dormant. Deeds without faith are empty. We honor God by uniting our trust in Christ with tangible expressions of His love. Let us therefore embrace both dimensions, confident in our salvation and zealous in our service, so that our lives bear the fruit of the Spirit and testify to God's transforming grace. These insights and challenges come straight to our level of understanding and are on target for our present season. Take them, accept them, live them, and grow in them. God has given you a challenge, a new insight, and a vision. Use them, build on them, live by them, and above all, share them, giving all glory to God in everything you do. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.